Once again, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Ram Girdhari Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji, the topic for today is glories of Gaur Kishor Das Prabhuji Maharaj. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, actually. This particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is very famous as well as important in this context of glorifying a Vaishnava. So before we read the verse, we will offer some invocation prayer. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today is the auspicious day of Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj's disappearance day, and Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj is one of the very famous, humble, and very wonderful personality So we are going to talk about His glories through some philosophical discussions. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, Text number 47. Atesha Maya Rachiteshu Sangam Guneshu Gandharva Puropameshu Rudam Prakrityatmani Vishwakratur Bhavena Hitvatam Aham Prapadye. Translation. Therefore, I should now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of God. I should engage in thought of the Lord and should consider and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things. But one must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. When passing through a mountainous region in an airplane, one may sometimes see a city in the sky with towers and palaces, or one may see similar things in a big forest. This is called a Gandharva Pura or Phantasmagoria. This entire world resembles such phantasmagoria, and every materially situated person has attachment for it. But Katvanga Maharaj, because of his advanced Krishna consciousness, was not interested in such things. Even though a devotee may engage in apparently materialistic activities, he knows his position very well. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. If one engages all material things in relation with loving service of the Lord, one is situated in Yukta Vairagya, proper renunciation. In this material world, nothing should be accepted for one's sense gratification. Everything should be accepted for the service of the Lord. This is the mentality of the spiritual world. Maharaja Katvanga advises that one give up material attachments and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, one achieves success in life. This is pure Bhakti Yoga, which involves Vairagya Vidya, renunciation and knowledge. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Siksharatam Eka Purushah Punaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dhari Kripam Buddhir Yastam Aham Prapadye. Let me surrender unto the Personality of Godhead, who has appeared now as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the ocean of mercy and has come down to teach us material detachment, learning and devotional service to himself. Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka 6.74. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated this movement of Vairagya Vidya, by which one detaches himself from the material existence and engages in loving devotional service. The Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service is the only process by which to counteract our false prestige in this material world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We chant this mantra every day before our class, before we offer our obeisances to all the Goswamis in their appearance and disappearance days. This Ajnana Timirandasya, what is this Ajnata? Is identifying ourselves with this body. And because of this identification, we have various difficulties that comes along with that. So, when we have constantly be living the life in connection with the body, we are not able to be properly realizing the words and messages of self-realized soul. But when we have some self-realized soul amongst us who performs their activities in line with the Shastras, when we hear their life stories or situations, we will be able to slowly correlate, develop some inspiration. And make it to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So on the disappearance day of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, whilst his life history is famous and available and probably in many forums have been discussed, I would like to discuss some specific set of instructions or anecdotes to help us remember this great personality. The reason why I read this particular shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, which talks about renunciation and the reason we are deluded in this material world, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj is a personified embodiment and personification of renunciation. Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambarasam Bhode Padam Bujaya Te Namaha. That's the offering that we do to Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. This means, I bow to your lotus feet, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who is the embodiment of renunciation. Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasam Bode, and the ocean of sacred rapture and separation. Being born in a Vaishya family and he has been blessed to be in the association of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who is another great personality. This Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is also called Vaishnava Sarva Bhauma. So, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj has got a very interesting position of being the spiritual master of our Lion Guru, His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, as well as the disciple of Vaishnava Sarva Bhauma, Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. Of course, he took his Paramahamsa Vesha from one of the disciples of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Had spent 30 years in Vrajamandala, travel in and around Vrajamandala as well as Gauramandala. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj led a life of utmost simplicity. Never accepted service from anyone. Led a very humble, simple and a mendicant life, constantly meditating on the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami and kept on chanting the holy name of the Lord. From the life of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we have to learn many interesting lessons. So we are going to learn few lessons today. When we read the life story of great personalities like that of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we need to always remember, rather than information about their life, we need to know what instructions we can derive from their life. And that is why we are always encouraged to constantly talk about, hear about the pastimes and life activities of Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Anyone who came in contact with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj could understand only himself as a divine and wonderful devotee. Whether the person is experienced, inexperienced, innocent, learned, many, many people used to come and see him ask for some help. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj sought his association for completely different arrangement under the order of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogaha. Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka says, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Which means, Mahaprabhu has come down to teach this particular science called Vairagya, detachment, Vidya, Nija Vidya, which means real knowledge, for Bhakti Yoga. So this Vairagya is something that Mahaprabhu has personally taught by his personal life, through the lives of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, through the lives of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, through the life of Raghunath Das Goswami, through the lives of so many great personalities. And this Vairagya, as Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, is something that we need to inculcate. In Bhagavata Mahatmya, it is explained that Jnana and Vairagya are two children of Bhakti. If somebody has developed Bhakti Yoga, or if somebody has developed devotional attachment towards the Supreme Personality of God and his devotees, knowledge and renunciation becomes maid servant to that person. The converse is also true. If somebody embraces the real knowledge and applies that knowledge with real renunciation, Nija Bhakti Yoga, they will be able to develop devotional success. So Srila Prabhupada writes that we all live in the world of hallucination, complete phantasmagoria, complete dream world. And considering this dream world as a reality is the greatest disease. If somebody is not coming to the terms to realize that I need to come out of this dream, Bhakti Yoga is far-fetched reality for him. That is why Shastra says, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. One day, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was coming to Raman Reti. In a Rolls Royce car with a chauffeur. Being a Tridandi sannyasi, propounding the philosophy of Vairagya, being a disciple of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who led a complete life of renunciation and simplicity, being a Naishtika Brahmachari, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was targeted by so many Vaishnavas at that time in Vrindavan when they saw this scene of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj coming down to Raman Reti in Rolls Royce car with a chauffeur, and he's getting down the car and everybody were accusing him. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj then and there gave a serious allegation or serious message that anyone who does not understand what I am doing, and he was going on to explain what is Yukta Vairagya and what are other types of Vairagya. There is something called as Yukta Vairagya. There is something called as Markati Vairagya. There is something called as Smashana Vairagya. We are also, as practicing devotees, have seen Vairagya of so-called materialistic men. So, through this next half an hour, 40 minutes of discussion glorifying Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we are going to discuss some sets of reflections. We are going to churn the life of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And naturally, the first reflection is about the Siddhanta of Vairagya. As I said, there are three types of Vairagya. And as he read in the purport, without Vairagya and knowledge, real knowledge, devotional service is not going to be successful. Srila Prabhupada says, Smashana Vairagya means renunciation like that of a person visiting crematorium. When we visit crematorium, especially when we are mourning the death of our near and dear ones, in India, we have a custom called calling somebody on the procession, calling the names Ram Naam Satya Hai. This Ram Naam Satya Hai means finally the truth is in the names of the Supreme Lord. Everything else is an illusion. All through the journey they will be calling out this name, and finally when the body is cremated, after we take bath or whatever, we left the crematorium, as soon as we step out, we are back to square, discussing about politics, prajalpa, worldly things, and fault finding about so many things, so many people who visited. So what happened to the vairagya that we beheld during the procession? They all vanished as soon as we left the smashana. So Shastra says, Acharya says, Prabhupada criticizes, smashana vairagya is something that is a very volatile vairagya which is not befitting for somebody practicing Krishna consciousness. What is market vairagya? This is called monkey renunciation. Monkey renunciation means like a monkey, our priorities, likings, dislikings, detachment and attachment keep jumping from one to another. A monkey does not stay in one place. It constantly jumps from one to another, keep on getting distracted, and such a vairagya is also rejected. Because in the process of Krishna consciousness, we need to be firmly fixed. We need to be completely strongly situated for us to walk the path of devotional life. In Madhya Leela, chapter 16, text number 238, Srila Prabhupada writes, monkeys consider themselves renunciants, but actually they are very busy enjoying sense gratification with dozens of female monkeys. Such renunciation is called market vairagya, or the renunciation of a monkey. He writes further, you should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciant. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj is commenting on the same verse, especially on this word, market vairagya, he points out that monkeys make an external show of renunciation by not accepting clothing and by living naked in the forest. In this way, they consider themselves renunciants, but actually they are very busy enjoying sense gratification. That is why this Markata Vairagya is also called Halgu Vairagya. Prapanchita kaya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam halgu katyate. When a person eager to achieve liberation renounces things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. Whatever is favorable for rendering service of the Supreme Lord should be accepted and should not be rejected as materialistic things. This is called Yukta Vairagya. Anashaktasya Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjata Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. So this is Markata Vairagya. Monkey renunciation, this is also rejected. Because Markataha means restlessness. Restless person cannot be steady. He simply wanders about gratifying his senses just to get praise from others, just to get cheap adoration from his followers, or people in general. Such people accept the dress of a sannyasi or a babaji in the renounced order, but cannot give up the desire for sense gratification, especially the association of women. So, this renunciation is also rejected. And the real renunciation or the beginning of renunciation happens by Yukta Vairagya. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. That's our first reflection. So from the life of Gaura Kishwadas Babaji Maharaj, he was leading this life of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya Stitis Sabha Shikaila Shushupka Vairagya Jnana Sabha Nishedila Madhilila 23.105. This is the technique for understanding Shushka Vairagya or Yukta Vairagya. Srila Prabhupada quotes in Bhagavad Gita 6.17, which says, Yuktahara Viharasya Yukta Chetasya Karmashu Yukta Swapna Vabodasya Yogo Bhavati Dukkadha. He who is
Your Google Home isn't set up yet. To get started, download the Google Home app on.
He who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So Prabhupada writes, to broadcast the cult of Krishna consciousness, one has to learn the possibility of renunciation in terms of country, time and candidate. A candidate for Krishna consciousness in the Western countries should be taught about the renunciation of material existence. But one would teach candidates from a country like India in a different way. The teacher, Acharya, has to consider time, candidate and country. He must avoid the principle of Niyama Graha. That is, he should not try to perform the impossible. So the reflection here is about inculcating the principle of Vairagya in one's devotional life. Now the question is, from when do we start inculcating the principle of Vairagya, renunciation? Actually, Tyaga as well as Vairagya, there are two sides of renunciation. Even though both of them are called in a context of renunciation, giving up, renouncing. From the lives of these great personalities, we realize that Vairagya is not something to be begun at the age of 50. The knowledge about renunciation and the process of renunciation begins from the earlier days of Brahmacharya onwards. Many a times we practicing devotees say that renunciation is not an immediate agenda, it is an agenda after 50 years. No, renunciation has got four stages. Renunciation in terms of knowledge, renunciation to be assimilated, renunciation to be contemplated and start applied, and renunciation to be taught. From age 5 to age 25, renunciation is taught. From age 25 to age 50, renunciation is assimilated and some preparation is done from the perspective of renunciation, and necessary variables are built in. And from age 50 onwards till we fully renounce is a stage where we are applying as well as trying to fully show the world the life of renunciation. And at a matured stage of renunciation, either in the form of sannyas or dedicated vanaprastha, we start to aggressively preach and create more and more soldiers in the army of Sankirtan movement, embracing Jnana and Vairagya. So no child is pampered, no youth is facilitated to enjoy stating that they are young enough and need not worry about renunciation. It's extremely important that we teach them from school days, from family time onwards, how do we be a renounced person. Srila Prabhupada is explaining in his own words. In order to complete the gaping needs that I felt, I was busily trying to get my hands on everything under the sun. I thought that the possessions would fulfill my needs. Over time, I had indeed accumulated a great number of rare possessions. But I was not able to rid myself of the sense of being unfulfilled. I had encountered many personalities who were reputed to be great saints, but saw various lacuna in every one of them, and so was unable to give them my respect. Fortunately, the supremely merciful Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu allowed two of his dearest companions to show their kindness to me. I was egoistically so self-absorbed that I had completely lost any sense of where my well-being could be found. Even so, due to past pious activities, I was able to get the association of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, who was my ever well-wisher. My Prabhu often came to visit him and sometimes stayed overnight at his house. Out of mercy to me, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur introduced me to him. From the time I first met my Prabhu, my stubborn egoism started to diminish. Previously, I used to think that everyone who took birth in a human body was filled with the same faults that I had. But upon seeing my Prabhu's divine character, I realized that there truly were flawless Vaishnavas in this world who matched the deal. So, this whole point that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj's glorification that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada is writing, here Prabhupada refers to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is also called Srila Prabhupada. When he saw Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he immediately felt that he is the one who can crush my ideologies and who can really take me to the process, which Bhaktivinod Thakur also wanted. So to summarize my first reflection, that Vairagya is an important component for each and every one of us to be inculcated in our devotional journey. And we saw three types of Vairagya. We saw four stages of applying that Vairagya in one's life. So the three types of Vairagya we saw are Yukta Vairagya, Smashana Vairagya, Markat Vairagya. Of that, Markat Vairagya and Smashana Vairagya were rejected and Yukta Vairagya is embraced. And Yukta Vairagya can be embraced in four stages: at the stage of childhood to youth, at the stage of youth to adult, at the stage of adult at 50 by the time we start to accept Vanaprastha, and finally when we are in the mature stage of Vanaprastha to fully renounce, then we become propounder of such a philosophy. The second quality with respect to Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, which we need to understand, is Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj's sign of humility. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was asked by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj several times, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, being the son of Bhaktivinod Thakur, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinod Thakur are very good friends. Bhaktivinod Thakur used to take siksha from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to take siksha as well as his initiation from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. That way, they are Siksha God brothers. So Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to regularly meet and discuss Gaurang Mahaprabhu's Leela. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, knowing that my son may have some familiarity towards me, being the father, should take initiation from Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj and said that you should take his shelter. And Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj, because of his friendly nature and being close to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, never said on the face to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that I will not give you initiation. The first time when Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj was asked, he was telling Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that if Mahaprabhu tells me to initiate you, I will. The second time when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj asked Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj, can I take initiation from you? Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj said that I have forgotten to ask Mahaprabhu. And the third time when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj asked, Gaurakrishna Das Babaji, he said, virtuousness, scholarship and other qualities are not the means to attain the Lord. They do not give you any right to initiation. This was the response he gave. So, this was not, completely clear to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Though he had been turned back by Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj repeatedly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not abandon his resolution. As we know this from the story of Ramanujacharya, who was turned back 18 times before receiving the mercy of Goshti Purna. Similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj showed his qualities of patience and determination to take initiation from Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj, humbly entreating him to give him initiation until finally Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj's heart melted and out of great affection mercifully initiated Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj by sprinkling the dust of his lotus feet on his head. Even though Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj would never allow any materialistic person to touch his feet. If apparently any visitor touched Babaji Maharaj's feet, he would say, you are doomed. Instead of giving blessings, he would say, you are doomed. Most people would even be afraid to attempt it. But during the initiation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he himself offered the dust of his feet to his dear disciple and smeared it on his body. We hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's life that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was turned back 12 times and the 13th time initiation was given. So there are so many similar episodes in the Vedic literature, Gaudiya Vaishnavacharya or other Vaishnavacharyas. So the message here is, from the life of Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj, we need to remember, along with Vairagya, we need to have Namrata, humility. And the humility that we know and the humility that is expected are two separate set of quotients. The humility that we know is a kind of lip service. We say how fallen we are, we may kind of say that I am not an advanced devotee, you are a great devotee kind of stories. But then, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj got such a wonderful spiritual master by his humility. Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj got a spiritual master by his humility. And a very interesting anecdote from Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj's life. Because of his humility, Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj used to live in a very simple place, eat simple food, dress like a mendicant. Even his tulasi beads and other possessions, whatever little he had, were extremely simple and humble. During his time, Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj declared that after he was going to leave the world, after he leave the body, he told, please drag me in the streets of Navadvip Dham. So after Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj left the body, other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they came to take claim of his body to perform the samadhi ceremony. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, being a very voracious as well as very strong personality, he said that if any one of you who has not broken regulative principle in the last 1 hour can come forward and take the possession of my Guru Maharaj's body. And so many Gaudiya Vaishnavas were surrounding that arena when Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj left this world. But nobody dared to take a step forward. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj went ahead and said that even if somebody has not broken the regulative principle in the last 1 day, can come forward and take possession of Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj. Body. Still nobody came forward. He said, even if somebody has not broken the regulative principle for the past 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, nobody came forward. When he made such a challenge, there was one person who questioned Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. How anyone could prove whether or not he had illicit sexual relationships? Because mainly Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj challenged about this particular aspect of regulative principle? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj responded, he is ready to challenge and question anyone who comes forward at his word, challenging this point. I am just making an open challenge. Don't ask me to prove. But if anybody wants to challenge my word, I am ready to take on him. Looking at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's conviction and pure spiritual practice, they all left and finally handed over the responsibility to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. When somebody reminded at that time that Babaji Maharaj had told that his body be dragged through the streets of Navadvip, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj responded, this is my Gurudev. Even Krishna is honored to carry him on his shoulders and carries him like a crown upon his head. He had said those things to confound the pride of the materialists with his humility. We may be inexperienced fools and offenders, but we should still make an effort to understand his intention. When Haridas Thakur entered his eternal pastimes, Lord Gauranga took his body to his chest and danced with it. What a precedent he had set for honoring the perfected soul's departure. We would rather follow Mahaprabhu's example and carry Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's divine remains on our head. So that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, humility. They both exhibited a sign of humility. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj exhibited the sign of humility by his life, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj exhibited his humility by his conviction, surrender and authority on Vaishnava practices. The third reflection, which is a very important one and a simple one, I will not go into the detail of this instruction. That Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would never ever criticize, never ever demean, and never ever disrespect in his personality to any Vaishnava. So these three, in terms of Vairagya, Namrita and Samman. So renunciation, humility and offering respect to others. Samam and Bonam, or the full total package, is Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. As Srila Prabhupada writes, referring this verse from Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka, he says the Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service is the only process by which we can counteract our false prestige in this material world, because we are inheriting the messages of all the acharyas in our own lives. With this note, I end here. I was asked to read the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, but I guess we are running short of time. I will leave it for the next speaker to read it. And I guess you all have a reading from Rajamandala Parikrama, day 18-19 also. So if there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Any questions or comments?
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु जी कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील गुरुदेव की जय गौर किशोरदास बाबा की जय थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर सच अ नाइस सच अ डीप डीप डिवोशनल डिवोशनल क्लास प्रभु जी दंडवत प्रणाम हरि बोल हरे कृष्ण हरि
हरे कृष्ण ऑल ग्लोरी श्रील प्रभुपाद
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for the class. Yeah, a couple of things. One is about the three kinds of vairagya. Now, there is marketer vairagya, which is like a pretender type of renunciation, or monkey renunciation. And then, I don't know how to say the other one. Is it something like Marshan, or how do you say it?
Smashana.
Okay, now, I wonder if you could say again, describe that one again, because I wasn't so clear about the distinction.
The point of Smashana Vairagya is, it is like a feeling of renunciation or feeling of a knowledge person. When we have lost somebody, generally what happens is that when somebody very close to us die, we always mourn for their death, and sometimes so many realizations pop out in our head or in our mind. And we also talk some philosophical words, and we also say that, look at this guy, I mean, he lived very happily, but then look at him, what is he carrying with him? There's nothing that's left in this world. I guess we all should remember that this life is full of illusion, and so many such words keep coming in people's heads, and people even talk about this up till the point of time the body is cremated and within the premises of a crematorium. But then it is only staying only in the premises of the crematorium, as right after we leave the premises, the vairagya or the determination or the renunciation or the knowledge that we were just blabbering few minutes before vanishes. So Shastra says, many a times we have such a vairagya. As Kanishta Sadhakas, we have gone through that many a times. Whenever we sit in a Bhagavatam class, whenever we go for Dham, whenever we read about something very extraordinary things, we immediately develop some sort of a vairagya. But as soon as we come in contact with materialistic friends or materialistic associations, we immediately forget, or we immediately jump onto the other zone. And that is what Madhurya Kadamani talks about as Saranga Rangini. Like a pendulum, we swing between two extremes. One extreme is like a complete devotional mood. Another extreme is a complete nonsense mood. So that is something to be overcome.
Okay, how about the translation for the words Marshana and Markata?
One is restlessness, another one is called, volatile. Okay, Markata is restless, he's not stable on one thing. He keeps shifting his vairagya in many, many things. Sometimes he says that I'm renouncing my food, sometimes I'm renouncing my family, sometimes I'm renouncing my dress, sometimes I'm renouncing this, renouncing that. It is like a monkey being a restless and jumping between different, zones. But Markata is a stable one, but for a limited time. I mean, I talk something stable, sane, but only within the boundary, within the premises of particular area and region or zone.
No, I didn't understand this part.
I'm saying that the market vairagya is a volatile one, and the smashana vairagya is a temporary and a limited one. I am feeling the sense of renunciation only for a period in time. So long as I'm in Vrindavan, I am very strong, very stubborn, very serious about my devotional life. As soon as I come to Bombay, I start jumping all over the place and start thinking about sense gratification. If you want to know more about this, you read the book called Vaishnava K, written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, where he is writing about this in detail.
Okay, so Markata, you said, is the restless one or the volatile one?
Markata is a restless one.
Mm-hmm. And Marshana is volatile.
Yes.
Okay. And one other thing, thank you very much. One other thing was, you said that when you were saying how many times, you know, Gaurav Kishore Das Babaji kind of turned Bhaktisiddhanta away, you know, for taking Diksha.
There are two versions to it. One version is somebody said the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj had pleaded three times and the fourth time he was given initiation. Another version says 13 times and the 14th time he was given initiation. So,
we get to
see both of them.
Uh-huh, that's why I got confused. I couldn't figure out which one it was. But I think you also gave an example of some other Vaishnav who was also turned away so many times.
Yeah, that was Ramanujacharya. He was in Srirangam, South India. He went from Srirangam to a place called Tirukkoshtiyur to meet his spiritual master called Goshti Purna. So he went 18 times to ask initiation from him, and 17 times he was rejected, 18th time he was accepted.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And there is a similar episode in the life of Lokanath Goswami. Anyway, I think we have time to end, but I just thought there are many, many such examples where people have exhibited sign of humility. The story reminds that Narottam Das Thakur's initiation by Lokanath Swami, because many there were also other episodes where they have tried for initiation and they were asked to wait.
Mm-hmm. I know we need to go now, but actually there was one last thing about the renunciation that I forgot to ask. Isn't there a fourth type where those who are, I guess, like jnanis or something, their renunciation is called false because they're just renouncing everything. They're just trying to renounce everything, but that the idea is not to just give up. The idea is to use everything in Krishna's service. So it's like, how can you give up something that was never yours to begin with? So that's why it's called false renunciation. Isn't that a fourth type? And is there a name for that one?
Well, I do not know such, as a fourth type, because I know only the three types. But all these, out of the three types, both Markata as well as the Smashana, both are of like a false renunciation, like the yogis that you just said. The episode that I was narrating about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's disappearance, in which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj challenged all the assembled men, were only on the same grounds. The same ground that he was saying that you guys are falsely renunciant, thinking about women in your ashram in the garb of a sannyasi or a, renunciant. In fact, his Vaishnava K book is beginning with this prayer, Vaishnava K, what type of a devotee are you? So I'm not sure, maybe I can check, but as far as I know, I've heard in lectures, these are the three types of vairagyas, Markata, Smashana, and Yukta Vairagya. So the yogis who are doing a false renunciation is what is being condemned by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj and also by everybody else.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hare Krishna. I guess you all have to read the Rajamandala day 18 and 19. So I want to sincerely thank. I wish that I stayed for the reading session, but I have to give another class in another 40 minutes, so I have to drive for half an hour. So kindly excuse me that I will leave, and thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to serve you all. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Please continue reading Rajamandala day 18 and 19.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Yeah, this was indeed a beautiful Shastra, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And we are very grateful to you and really look forward to having your association again in the future. Thank you for your time today, Prabhuji.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Mataji. Please pay your obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. I really need the blessings from everybody. Vancha Kalpatarubhya Kripa Sindhu Bhavachya Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namah. So we'll start today. So our day 18 is to visiting Khandirvan. To get to Khandirvan, our buses drive through Anjanaka, now known as Anjanuk. Beach is southeast of Nandagram and 5 kilometers northeast of Varshana. On the road between Varshana and Chata, once while Srimati Radharani was applying Anjana Kajal to her eyes, she heard the melodious sound of Krishna's flute. Dropping everything, she felt her home. She left her home and ran with her sakhis to meet him. As Radha came near Krishna, he became overwhelmed. He made Radha sit on the flower deck asan, which Vrinda Devi had arranged. Looking at the beauty of his Radha, Krishna noticed that her eyes were not decorated with Anjana. When he asked why this was, the Sakhis explained, enjoying the opportunity, Krishna brought Anjan and applied to Radha's eye with great happiness. So this reason, this place is called Anjanaka. Krishna is all attractive, but his devotion to Srimati Radharani is even more attractive. Service to her lotus feet is his life's breath. Anjanaka is one of the places where the Julan Yatra or Swing Festival is held in month of Shravana. Sri Kishore Kishori's pastimes on the swing are even more beautiful at this time of the year. From Anjanaka is the village is Kamai, the birthplace of Vishakha Sakhi. Among the 8 gopis, Vishakha is the second. Her behavior, qualities and determination are similar to that of Lalita. She was born almost at the same time of Radhika. Her dress looks like the sky full of stars. In other words, she wears a blue garment with white dots. Her bodily complexion is like lightning. Her father is Pavan, who is the son of Mukhara's sister. Vishakha's mother is Jatila's niece, named Dakshina. Vishakha Sakhi is also expert in carrying messages and consoling Radha and Krishna when they feel separation from one another. Some of her other services include preparing tilak, creating flower decoration, drawing beautiful designs on the flower and gathering ingredients used during the divine couple's daily Surya Puja pastimes. Vishakha Devi is also skilled at performing magical feats and puppet shows and singing in different languages. Khandirvan is the seventh of the 12 forests in our journey. It is directly east of Nandagram and about 10 kilometers northeast of Varshana. A short distance of the Varshana to Chata Road. The Adivaraha Purana says that anyone who visits this forest will ascend to the Lord's abode. Krishna and his cowherd friends used to play here while they herded the cow. The Bhakti Ratnakar says that there is a place close to Javat known as Bhakthara, where Krishna killed Bakasura. Considering that Khandivan forest is usually associated with the demon state, Bhakthara is most likely within the boundaries. Just prior to this pastime, Nanda Maharaj and his community had moved from Gokula to Vrindavan. Yeah. And Krishna and Balaram had come to old enough to take care of calves. Shortly after killing Vatsasura and after their breakfast, Krishna, Balarama and cowherd boys crossed the Yamuna and wandered into Khandirvan with their calves, making them drink water from nearby lake. After the calf drank water, the boys also drank to their satisfaction. That's when they notice Bakasura, the giant heron demon, standing next to the lake. Bakasura quickly swallowed Krishna, and when the boys saw what happened, they almost fell unconscious. But when the Bakasura demon was swallowing up Krishna, he felt burning, fiery sensation in his throat. This was due to the glowing effulgence of Krishna. The demon quickly threw up Krishna and tried to kill him with pinching him with his beak. Bakasura did not know that although Krishna was playing the part of the child of Nanda Maharaja, he was still the original father of Lord Brahma, the creator of universe. Mother Yashoda's child, who is the reservoir of pleasure of the demigods and who is maintainer of saintly person, caught hold on the great gigantic heron by the two halves of his beak, and before his cowherd boy friends catch his mouth, just a child very easily split a blade of grass. We see it 3 foot tall in this region times of their spindly leg and large grey bodies are unique sight. Next come Bhajan Kutir of Loknath Goswami. In Khandirvan, one can also find the Bhajan Kutir of Loknath Goswami on the bank of Sangamakunda, where Krishna and gopis used to meet. Sangam means union. The Bhakti Ratnakar and Prema Vilas tell us about this close associate of Lord Chaitanya. From his childhood, he had no attachment to family life, and he was still young when he left home to join the Lord in Navadvip. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed showered him with mercy, and just before he took sannyas, instructed him to go to Vrindavan. Loknath Goswami followed the Lord's order, and Bhugarva Goswami, his intimate friend, accompanied him as they traveled. The two Goswamis spent their time in great ecstasy, remembering Lord Gauranga. Loknath and Bhugarva were inseparable associates in both Gauralila and Krishna Lila. The Prema Vilas reveals that Loknath Goswami is Manjulali Manjiri, and Bhugarva Goswami is Nandimukhi. They occasionally stayed here on the bank of Sangam Kunda and did bhajan together. In Vrindavan, Loknath Goswami was joined by Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, and he spent lot of time with them along with other exalted devotees. Loknath Goswami was also absorbed in ecstatic love of God, and he spent many happy days visiting the holy places where Krishna performed his pastime. Seeing his intense desire to worship the deity of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya appeared before him in disguise and placed the deity of Radha Vinod in his hands. The Goswami was somewhat bewildered by this wonderful incident, but Radha Vinod smiled and explained that he was simply reciprocating with Loknath's desire to serve his deity form. Then he asked to be fed. The elderly saint was overwhelmed with looking ecstasy and stood with tears flowing from his eyes. Eventually, he was able to compose himself and cook an offering for his Lord. This touching pastime took place on the bank of Kishorakunda in the nearby village of Umrao. Loknath Goswami would have Radha Vinod in small bag around his neck and carry him with him wherever he went. Whatever food he received by begging or as donations, he offered to Radha Vinod with great devotion. During the rainy season, he kept Radha Vinod in the hollow of a tree while he himself sat outside in the rain. Despite being a senior Goswami, out of his profound humility, Loknath Goswami took a vow never to accept disciples. However, owing to the insistence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared to him in a dream, and the strong determination of Narottam Das Thakur, he aspiring disciple Loknath made an exception and initiated Narottam after first tasting him for an entire year. During that period, Narottam served his guru menially, even secretly cleaning the area where he evacuated. After describing the glories of Loknath Goswami to his two companions at Kishorakunda, Raghav Pandit could not check his tears, and Shivas and Narottam fell to the ground and rolled in the dust, overcome by ecstatic emotion. At Chata, our buses turned right onto a Delhi-Agra highway. Towards Vrindavan, we hear about Chatravan. A couple of kilometers south of Chata. There is a heat time, pastime connected to both Chatravan and Umrah. Once at Chatravan, Krishna declared himself king of Raja. By his order, the Sakhas, headed by Madhumangal, went from forest to forest, loudly proclaiming his sovereignty and calling for others to support his rule. But when the Sakhis heard this proclamation, they became furious. How can anyone dare claim authority in Srimati Radharani's kingdom? They exclaimed, and that moment they established Radharani as Umrah, rich man, or prince. At the place now known as Umrah, the Sakhis then prepared for battle and armed with flower sticks supplied by Vrinda Devi, marched to conquer Sri Radhika's kingdom. The cowherd boys were wandering about the area, perhaps still busy establishing Krishna's authority, when they saw a large number of gopis arriving from all directions and armed with sticks. They fled the scene. As usual, Madhumangal was slower than the rest, so he was captured by the Sakhis and his hands tied with flower garland. Then he was brought to Umrah, where Radharani sat on throne, exquisitely dressed in the outfit of prince. After chasing Madhumangal for claiming Krishna's authority over her kingdom, Srimati Radharani allowed him to return to his king. The Sakhis then released him, and Madhumangal ran off, his hands still bound. In Chakravat, Krishna was still sitting on his throne. When he saw Madhumangal arrive, he asked, "Why have you come in such a condition?" In distress, Madhumangal replied, "This is the result I got by declaring you king. Radharani is the prince with unlimited power. What can you do against her authority?" The same Cupid who steals the composure of the world trembled at the moment of her eyes. "My advice to you is that you should recognize her authority, surrender yourself and take her shelter." Krishna said, "Whatever you say is all right, Madhu, but I cannot bear to see you bound like this." Madhu replied, "I am not distressed even if I am insulted. I only care for your well-being." Speaking like this, he then took the hand of Krishna and led him to the place where Radha was staying at Umrah. When Srimati Radharani saw her beloved approaching, she became embraced. But when Krishna saw his beloved so beautifully dressed as a prince, he became unsteady. Seeing Krishna in this condition, Madhumangal became blissful and quickly made him sit next to Radharani on the throne. Then he said to Radhika, "Now take Krishna and show your authority. Krishna will give you the gift of jewel-like embrace. Please accept it with care." Hearing these sweet words, Lalita happily smiled and put a sweet in Madhumangal's mouth. Today we will walk from Nandagram to Kokilavan through Chavat. Asheshwar Mahadev Temple is about 2 kilometers east of Nandagram. When Mother Yashoda first denied Lord Shiva darshan of baby, as was described the day before yesterday, Lord Shiva sat under a tree here to meditate on his beloved Lord. The word Asha means hope or desire. Shiva's heartfelt desire to see Krishna was eventually fulfilled here when the gopis came on behalf of Mother Yashoda to invite him back to Nandagram. Thus, here he is known as Asheshwar Mahadev. Offering our obeisances to Asheshwar Kunda, we cross a field and enter small forest on the northern side of temple Ter Kadam. It is said that Krishna brought his cows graze here and that he often sat under a Kadamba tree to play his flute and call the cows back when it was time to go home. He had a jeweled necklace which he used to count each cow before leaving the Nandagram. Ter means call, and that's why this place is known as Ter Kadam. We prostrate ourselves fully in the dust here and offer our obeisances to Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhajan Kutil. While reciting the following Pranam mantra in his lotus feet, Shri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatita Swapadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who is established within this material world, the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Srila Rupa Goswami lived here for many years, completely absorbed in compiling devotional masterpieces. Here the Ujjwala Neelamani, Padyavali, Lalita Madhav, Dina, Danakeli, Kaumodaki, and Bhakti Ratnakar Sindhu, Bhakti Rasamrut Sindhu appeared from his pure heart. We sit for some time in the courtyard of this well-maintained Samadhi temple. Our feet sink into glittering powdery dust as devotees were singing kirtan. Shri Rupa Manjiri Pada Seimura Sampada Sei mora bhajana puja na, sei mora pranadana, sei mora avarana, sei mora jivanera jivana, sei mora rasanidhi, sei mora vancha siddhi, sei mora vedera dharma, sei vrata sei tapa, sei mora mantra japa, sei mora dharma karama. The lotus feet of Shiru Rupa Manjiri are my real wealth. They are the object of my devotional service and worship. They are the treasure of my heart and they are my ornaments and the life of my life. For me, they are the reservoir of the rasa and the conclusion of the religion of the Vedas. They are the fulfillment of all my desire and the goal of all my vow, my authorities, my religious activities and the chanting of my mantra. By the power of those lotus feet, my activities will become favorable to devotion. I will achieve spiritual perfection, and with these two eyes I shall be able to actually see both day and night the flood of exquisite beauty of Sri Rupa Manjari. Divine lotus feet will shine like the brilliant full moon on the lotus of my heart, smoothing my afflicted soul. O Rupa Manjari, the venom of the snake of separation from you has enfleeded my soul, and now my life is ever afflicted and distressed. Please have mercy and give me the shade of your lotus feet. Narottam Das has taken refuge. Next, we hear about some of the sweet pastimes that took place here on one day in the course of his wandering. Sanatan Goswami arrived at Ter Kadam. Rupa welcomed him joyfully but had no food to offer him. In his heart, he thought, if I had some sweet rice, I would be able to feed Sanatan Goswami nicely. At that moment, a beautiful young girl appeared. She was carrying ghee, milk, sugar and other ingredients, and she said, "Oh Baba, my mother sent me to distribute these ingredients to the sadhus. Here, you please take it, prepare bhoga, offer it to the Lord and honor the prasadam." Rupa Goswami immediately started cooking his sweet rice. After it had been offered, Sanatan Goswami began to honor the prasad. With his first bite, he nearly collapsed in ecstasy. With tears running down his cheeks, Sanatan asked his younger brother, "Where have you got these ingredients for such wonderful sweet rice?" The Rupa Goswami told him everything. On hearing the story, Sanatan understood the identity of that supremely soft-hearted girl whose sweet rice they had the great fortune to tasting. He then admonished his younger brother for desiring in such a way that they had taken service from Srimati Radharani instead of rendering service to her lotus feet. Sanatan Goswami accepted the prasad in great bliss. But Rupa Goswami regretted the incident. Srimati Radharani later appeared to him in a dream and consoled him with sweet words. The devotees can feel how the atmosphere here is saturated with Rupa Goswami's profound devotional feeling. He sat underneath this steady Kadamba tree to write. This fortunate tree was so affected by Goswami's various spiritual emotions that when Sri Rupa wrote about the pen of separation, Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna felt for each other. It shed its leaves, and when he wrote about the divine couple's ecstasy in reunion, is spotted fresh birds, leaves and flowers. So thank you very much. I will stop here. There are a lot many pastimes to read, but it's getting late. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna
Mataji.
Hare Bol Mataji, thank you very much.
Hare Bol Mataji, thank you very much.
Mataji in between. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you everyone for giving me this opportunity, and thank you so much for patiently listening. I am not a good reader, but because you all are listening, I get inspired to read. Thank you so much.
Mataji. Thank you for all the effort that you take. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. We can offer obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarobhyasya kripa sindubhya evaja patidanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama anantakoti vaishnavrinda ki jai namachari shilandas thakur ki jai shila prabhupada ki jai har krishna gauri
mama gauri devi dasi ki
jai vrindavan yatra ki jai
jai vrajdam parikrama
ki jai all devotees ki jai
shyam kund radha kund
ki jai.